Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klaponis, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on the Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon it.
Thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us, on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
O eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
Amen and amen. Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen.
So guess which rosary I'm praying on today?
The one from Israel, I'm guessing.
Nope. I'm praying on one that my friend Harrison gave me at the Easter Vigil Mass that was blessed by Papa Francesco.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That's very cool. Now, of course, Pope Francis didn't pick the rosary up and bless it. I mean, it was in St. Peter's Square when he did his blessing, but that's close enough.
Still counts.
It still counts. It's still blessed by the Holy Father.
Yep.
And Pope Francis is our Holy Father.
He sure is.
So anyway, you know, I just want everybody to know that we did a really, really good show last night on depression and mental illness. And we had a guy named Nathan that called in and made a lot of really good points and had a lot of really good things to say. And everybody ought to go to the page for the Four Persons. It's blogtalkradio.com/4persons and hit enter and you'll see all of our shows. And right now it's the second show down. When we're finished with this show, it'll be the third show down, because the first show is the interview we did with Stephen Ray a few months ago, and then the second will be this show, and the third will be the show on depression and mental illness. So y'all should all go listen to that show. It was really a good show. I felt really positive about it when we came off the air.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we're doing, is we're approaching a lot of these third rail topics that people don't want to talk about. And that's what you're going to get from us, because we're not afraid. We're going to speak the truth and not count the cost. That's just what we're about. That's what we do. And I'm not really ashamed of that. How about you?
I'm not a bit ashamed of it. Not in the least. I mean, that's what we're called by God to do, is to speak the truth and to preach his gospel. And that's what we try to do every single day. And I really like the opening music that I picked for that show, which was Lisa Marie Nicole's "Window to My Soul," "Stained Glass
okay.
Window of My Soul."
I didn't catch the beginning of the show because, one of the things about going to Sunday night mass at the particular church that I like to go to, the priest tends to go a little long on his homily sometimes. So sometimes you don't get out right at 6 o'clock. It's more like 6:05 or 6:10 or, you know, maybe even beyond that. That's fine. You know, I don't have anything against long homilies. I have a little difficulty with long, meandering homilies. where it's just a whole bunch of threads of ideas kind of just, you know, added together and braided together. That's just my personal thing. I mean, if it's a really deep, informative, really detailed homily that happens to go a long time, I'm totally on board with that.
But I hear you.
But sometimes it's he has a thought, and then he has another thought, and then he has another thought, and I'm just giving my personal opinion that, you know, that's a good way to lose your audience.
Yes. So anyway, let's do the daily update, because we haven't really had much of a daily update to do lately. Terry does not know what his show for Sunday night at 6:30 will be. He will let me know as we approach Thursday, and that's 3 days away. But on Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, Catholic Ken will be discussing how the first Christians were saved. That's going to be a pretty cool show.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's not going to say it was by an altar call. That's what I'm guessing. What do you think?
I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, William has not decided his topic for the Catholicism Rock Show at 10 a.m. Eastern, but for his noon Eastern show on Saturday, Burnt Toast and Coffee, he's going to interview Amy Brooks of CatholicInfluencers.com.
I can't wait for that show.
Well, I checked out that website today, and it seems like a pretty cool website, but I got a problem with making money from being Catholic. And she's charging for memberships on that website. Just saying.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that if the money is being reinvested into the apostolate. The problem... Yeah, everyone deserves to make a living, and the Bible says that, something about the muzzle should not be taken from the cow when he's treading his grain or whatever it is. I forget what the saying is. The problem is that when you make your ministry or your apostolate dependent on cash, then... what happens is you have to give a message that sells. And the message of the Catholic Church, the pure gospel of the Catholic Church, is not a message that sells very well with the world. The whole take up your cross and deny yourself and accept your sufferings, that's not a message that's real popular with the world. Do you agree?
Oh, I definitely agree.
So if you're going to try to be popular with the world, you're at cross purposes with the Catholic Church and the message of the Catholic Church. So that's kind of the problem of doing it for profit. Now, we're a nonprofit, and, to be perfectly honest, so far we're losing money, but that can change over time.
Well, it can.
For us, the message is what's important.
Yes.
The message is what's important. The dollars come secondary. We figure the dollars will come when they come, when the good Lord extends that blessing to us. But we're not going to water down the message for the sake of a few more dollars. Now, I'm not saying that's what this person is doing. I'm making a general statement. I don't know this person. I certainly want to hear her message, and maybe she's just trying to help, Catholics get the message. I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly anxious to hear, to listen to it.
Yes.
But
and I hope
but
that
we know,
will ask the question.
Yeah, we know there are a lot of Catholics out there, unfortunately, that fit that mold. A message for dollars. And eventually you got to choose, if it's your livelihood, eventually you're putting it in a choice where you're choosing between Jesus and money. And as I recall, a guy named Judas had that decision to make too, and I don't think he chose wisely. What do you think?
No, especially not when they say it would, when Jesus says it would have been better for him had he never been born.
Yeah. You know, that cracks me up when I hear people say that, oh, well, we don't know what happened to Judas. We don't know that Judas is in hell.
Jesus
Bible
told
you...
us he is.
Yeah. All right, which Bible are you reading? Peter told us that he died, that he hung himself and his entrails fell out and he went to his own place. Now, Peter was a little bit more graphic there than he probably had to be, but
yes,
he made the point. He went to his own place. I don't know how much more. Jesus said it would be better for him that he had a millstone tied around his neck and tossed into the depths of the sea. It would be better for that man had he never been born. That sounds
exactly
pretty direct to me. I mean,
yes.
I don't think Jesus
could have been much more direct than that.
I don't see much gray area there, do you?
I don't see any gray area.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we pretty much know where he is, and,
yes,
you know, not a word that I use, so I'll just say H-E double hockey sticks.
Yeah. And you know, we're certainly not celebrating it. It's sad. It's lamentable. I wish Judas had repented. But by the same token, it brings home that very sober reality that hell exists. And if we're not careful, we're going to wind up there. And we need to be ever vigilant of that. Memento mori is the old saying. Remember death.
Yes.
And a person should always be mindful of the last four things, because you're going to get three of the four. And that's death, judgment, heaven, hell. You're going to get three of the four, and it's up to you as to whether you get number three or number four. Trust me, you don't want number four.
No.
Just my opinion. It's my thoughts on the subject.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't want number four.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want number four, so... Anyway, that is, oh, and then on Saturday, Lisa, hang on, let me get her Facebook page up.
Yep.
On Saturday, Lisa has a special treat for us. She is going to be doing a special concert. Where she will be covering some Pat Benatar songs, and she'll also sing a couple of her own songs. She'll be singing Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield, Invincible, We Belong, Shadows of the Night, Heartbreaker, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. She better do Hell is for Children or I'm going to get really upset. Because that's one of Benatar's best songs.
Well, I would say it's her best song, in my view.
Well, I agree, especially the message.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's one of those, you know, when I talk about classic songs, I mean, you know, songs that stand the test of time. Okay, you're talking about your Bridge Over Troubled Water. You're talking about your, you know, your Stairway to Heaven, you know, songs on that level.
Yes.
I put Hell Is for Children on that level. I think it's one of those, first of all, it's a perfectly constructed song. And second of all, the message, the rage of the message is conveyed both by the vocals and by the music. They do a masterful job. We kind of opened this up the other day because, you know, did you know that Pat Benatar only had 4 top 10 hits?
Yeah.
That's kind of shocking to me because I think that she was, that group was one of the most underrated, if not the most underrated, band of the 1980s.
I would agree with that.
I would put Blondie in that conversation too, and both for the same reason. The female vocalist got all the headlines, and in Pat Benatar's case, deservedly so. She was an unbelievable vocalist, but I don't think Pat Benatar starts and stops with Pat Benatar. The band was phenomenal too.
Yeah.
And they put out some really, really great stuff. And some of their greatest stuff is some of the stuff that's lesser known. And one thing about Pat Benatar that, you know, that might blow a lot of people away is a lot more of her songs than you might think are covers. And I posted something on Blog Talk Radio yesterday, a little fun little thing. I put 9 of her covers against the original. Did you listen to that?
Yes.
How many people do you think would be surprised to know that Heartbreaker was a cover?
I think everybody would be surprised to know that she didn't write Heartbreaker.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a lot of other songs that I didn't include, that I could have. I couldn't include all the songs that she did that were covers. How about Treat Me Right was a cover. Never Want to Leave You was a cover. Now that you did listen to all 9 songs, were there any of the 9 where you would give an edge to the original?
Not a single one.
You go Benatar on all 9, okay.
Benatar on all 9.
I give the Beatles a 51-49 edge on Helter Skelter. Just because I just love Paul McCartney's vocals in that song.
Yeah, but see, covers of Helter Skelter, I give it a 37% Motley Crue, a 36% Benatar, and the remainder to the Beatles.
Well, I'm just talking about just those two head-to-head. If you split the vote 100%, if Beatles against Benatar, I give the Beatles the edge 51-49. It's close.
57-43 for Benatar.
For me, musically, Benatar's version's better. The music is tighter in Benatar's version. But I don't know. I just think the song fits Paul McCartney so well. I give him a slight edge, ever so slight. Okay, so which one of the 9 did you think was the clearest runaway Benatar win? I'll give you one. You can go 1 or 2.
Heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker? Okay.
Heartbreaker.
For me, it was Wuthering Heights. I thought Kate Bush's version of Wuthering Heights was awful. Even though it's her song, I thought it was awful. And I thought Pat Benatar actually did a really good version of that song. So to me, that was the... And then the other one was The Rascals, You Better Run. I just didn't think it was particularly good. But Benatar's was really good. But anyway, other than Helter Skelter, which I give the slightest of edges to the Beatles... I had Benatar scored as the better in. And the first two, I think the band Smokey, I think they actually did a good job on If You Think You Know How to Love Me and In the Heat of the Night. I think they did a good job.
Yeah.
Theirs were good. Hers was great. I just think it would, I mean, they're just, their band just, Pat Benatar's band just killed those two songs, just killed it. Anyway, that's my humble opinion.
But, so on Helter Skelter, I still give the edge to Motley Crue. There's
okay.
just something about the way that Vince Neil sings that song. Just the pure evil in his voice.
The evil connotations of the song Helter Skelter came later, unfortunately, because of the way that the song was co-opted by Charles Manson and his band of crazies. That's not something the Beatles ever intended when they recorded the song.
Actually, they did. It was written about Manson.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. That's the first. Where did you get that?
From people that I know.
A lot of people may not know this, but Charles Manson actually co-wrote a song for the Beach Boys. That's true. He did.
That is true. But, a friend of mine whose name I'm not going to mention because I'm not dropping names.
Yeah.
told me that. And he is in a position to know.
Okay.
I'll tell you off air who it is, but I'm not going to say on the air.
Okay. Well, just going back to Lisa and her concert of Benatar. If you had to name a Pat Benatar song that you think was overplayed, that was treated like one of her best songs when it really wasn't one of her best songs, is there one you would pick out?
Shadows of the Night.
Really?
Really. I didn't think that was one of her best efforts. I thought it was overplayed.
And that's how I feel about Hit Me With Your Best Shot. That's interesting.
That's number two.
Yeah.
On that list for me.
I do think that some of her best songs, if I were to name my top 10 favorite Pat Benatar songs, probably two of the 10 would be among her biggest hits. Most of her best work was the stuff that not enough people know about. Hell Is for Children is a perfect example of that. Songs like No You Don't, I Want Out, songs like that, Out of Touch. These were just great, great songs that not a lot of people know about. And it's a shame.
And see, that's how I feel about Andy Taylor. He was the guitar player for Duran Duran, but his best stuff was done solo.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with his solo work?
I'm not. I'm familiar with Duran Duran, but I'm not really familiar with any of the solo stuff that he's done.
Do you ever watch Miami Vice?
Yeah.
You remember a song on Miami Vice called When the Rain Comes Down?
Nah, not really.
That's Andy Taylor.
Okay. I'll have to look him up. I'll look him up when I'm home and we're off the air.
Okay. So why don't we talk about the saint of the day today?
Mm-hmm.
And the saint of the day was originally going to be Blessed Maria Gabriella Sagedu, but I've decided to go with Pope Saint Soter. We don't know when he was born. We believe that his papacy ended in 174, started about 167, although the dates may have ranged from between 162 and 168 to 170 or 177. We do know that he was born in Fondi Campagna, which is in the Lazio section of Italy today. He is known for declaring that marriage was valid only as a sacrament blessed by a priest. Let me say this again. Soter is known for declaring that marriage is valid as a sacrament, only as a sacrament blessed by a priest. And then he also formally inaugurated Easter as an annual festival in Rome. His feast day is, of course, celebrated today, as is that of St. Caius. The Roman Martyrology, which is the official list of recognized saints, references Soter at Rome, St. Soter, Pope, whom Dionysius of Corinth praises for his outstanding charity towards needy exiled Christians who came to him and towards those who had been condemned to the mines. It has often been supposed that all of the earliest popes suffered martyrdom, but the Roman Martyrology does not give Soter the title of martyr. The book detailing the 1969 revision of the general Roman calendar states there are no grounds for including St. Soter and St. Caius among the martyrs. Now, Pope St. Soter is one of the popes who used his birth name as his papal name. It wasn't until the 6th century that popes, started taking the name of a saint as their papal name. And it became a common practice, it became customary in the 10th century. And since 1555, every pope has taken a papal name. So up until the 6th century, all the popes used their own birth names to be pope. Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah, and 25 of those popes have taken the name John.
23.
25.
You're counting anti-popes.
I'm counting John Paul the First and John Paul the Second.
Oh. No, see, I consider them to be separate because they would also be Paul the Seventh and Paul the Eighth.
I guess if you look at it that way, but John is in the name.
Well, and so is Paul.
But you're right. There were 23 Pope Johns.
Exactly. 23 acknowledged Pope Johns.
Right.
Not 24,
correct.
Not 25, 23.
Okay.
So anyway.
Technical here.
Go
ahead. Please continue.
So anyway, the Montanist movement was an early Christian movement of the late 2nd century named after its founder, Montanus, and Montanism held views about the basic tenets of Christian theology similar to those of the wider Christian church, but it was labeled a heresy for its belief in new prophetic figures. The prophetic movement called for reliance on the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit and a more conservative personal ethic. And that's important because Pope St. Soter, let's see. It's nature. All right, so the nature of the Montanist movement did not diverge so much from the orthodoxy of the time for it to initially be labeled heresy. During the violent persecution at Lyon in 177, local confessors wrote from their prison concerning the new movement to the Asiatic and Phrygian communities, as well as Pope Eleutherus. The bearer of the letter to the Pope was the presbyter Irenaeus, soon to become Bishop of Lyon. It appears from the statements of Eusebius concerning these letters that the Christians of Lyon, though opposed to the Montanist movement, advocated patience and pleaded for the preservation of ecclesiastical unity. When the Roman Church took its definite stand against it is not precisely known. Tertullian records record that a Roman bishop sent some conciliatory letters to the Montanists, but based on the complaints of Fraxius concerning the prophets themselves and their churches, and by insistence on the decisions of the bishop's predecessor, forced the pontiff to recall these letters. Well, this has nothing about why this had anything to do with Pope St. Soter. Oh, one of the letters states that Holy Soter, Pope of the city, wrote against them in a book, as did the master, Apollonius of Ephesus. Against these wrote the priest Tertullian of Carthage, who in all ways wrote well, wrote first, and wrote incomparably. In this alone did reprehensibly that he defended Montanus. So anyway, it's a heresy, was declared a heresy, and always will be a heresy. So that's all I've got to say today about Pope St. Soter. Pope St. Soter,
pray for us.
Amen. And
One more thing on the daily update that I want to squeeze in is that tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we're going to have Trish from Miracles Are Blessings is going to be our guest. So I think that's going to be an interesting show. The 501c3 charity out of Kansas and, out of Missouri. And I think that's going to be an interesting show. So Miracles Are Blessings is our guest tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern.
And I have choir practice.
All right, that's all right. You can listen in the archive.
Yes, I can. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit today about the John Traynor Eucharistic miracle, and then we'll talk about the rest of it tomorrow. So just to remind everybody, John Traynor was a World War I soldier, Brit soldier, and he was a very brave soldier by all accounts, but he finally got wounded to the point that his right arm was dog meat. So in July of 1923, Traynor heard that the Liverpool Diocese was organizing a pilgrimage to Lourdes. He had always had a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin and later determined to join the pilgrimage. He took a gold sovereign, which he had been saving for an emergency, and used it as the first payment on a ticket. At first, his wife was very much disturbed by the idea of her husband making such a difficult trip. His friends tried to talk him out of it. His doctor told him the trip would be suicide. The government ministry of pensions protested against the idea. One of the priests in charge of the pilgrimage begged him to cancel his booking. All of this was to no avail. Traynor had made up his mind, and there was no changing it. When his wife saw how much he wanted to make the trip, she decided to help him. In order to raise the money for the pilgrimage, the Trainers sold some of their furniture. Mrs. Trainer pawned some of her jewelry. There was so much excitement at the railroad station the day that the pilgrimage was to leave. In addition to the noise and confusion that accompanies the departure of every large pilgrimage, there was the additional hubbub caused by the curious who had come to see Trainer. His trip had aroused much interest, and at the station, a great number of people crowded about his wheelchair. Newspaper reporters and photographers were on hand to cover the event. As a result of all this, Trainer reached the station platform too late to get on the first train. The second train was crowded, and once more an attempt was made to talk him out of taking the trip. Trainer, however, said that he was determined to go if he had to ride in the coal tender. The trip was extremely trying, and Trainer was very sick. Three times during the journey across France, the directors of the pilgrimage wished to take him off the train and put him in a hospital. Each time, there was no hospital where they stopped, and so they had to keep him on board. He was more dead than alive when he reached Lourdes on July 22nd and was taken to the asile. Two Protestant girls from Liverpool, who were serving as volunteer nurses in the asile, recognized Trainer and offered to take care of him. He gladly accepted the offer. He had several hemorrhages during his 6 days there and a number of epileptic fits. So bad was his condition that one woman took it upon herself to write to his wife and tell her there was no hope for him and that he would be buried in Lourdes. Trainer managed to bathe in the water from the grotto 9 times, and he attended all of the ceremonies to which the sick are taken. It was only by sheer force of will that he was able to do this. Not only were his own infirmities a serious obstacle, but the brancardiers and others in attendance were reluctant to take him out for fear he would die on the way. Once he had an epileptic fit as he was going to the piscines. When he recovered, the brancardiers turned his chair to take him back to the asile. He protested, but they insisted. They were forced to give in when he seized the wheel with his good hand and would not let the chair budge until it went in the direction of the baths. On the afternoon of July 25th, when he was in the bath, his paralyzed legs became suddenly agitated. He tried to get to his feet, but the brancardiers prevented him. They dressed him, put him back in his wheelchair, and hurried him to Rosary Square for the blessing of the sick. Most of the sick were already lined up. He was third last on the outside as one faces the church. And so now we're going to hear it in Trainer's words. The procession came winding its way back as usual to the church. And at the end walked the Archbishop of Reims, carrying the Blessed Sacrament. He blessed the two ahead of me, came to me, made the sign of the cross with the monstrance, and moved on to the next. He had just passed by when I realized that a great change had taken place in me. My right arm, which had been dead since 1915, was violently agitated. I burst its bandages and blessed myself for the first time in years. I had no sudden pain that I can recall, and certainly had no vision. I simply realized that something momentous had happened. I attempted to rise from my stretcher, but the brancardiers were watching me. I suppose I had a bad name for my obstinacy. They held me down, and a doctor or a nurse gave me a hypo. Apparently, they thought that I was hysterical and about to create a scene. Immediately after the final benediction, they rushed me back to the asile. I told them that I could walk and proved it by taking 7 steps. I was very tired and in pain. They put me back in bed and gave me another hypo after a while. They had me in a small ward on the ground floor. As I was such a troublesome case, they stationed brancardiers and relays to watch me and keep me from doing anything foolish. Late that night, they placed a brancardier on guard outside the door of the ward. There were two other sick men in the room, including one who was blind. The effect of the hypos began to wear off during the night, but I had no full realization that I was cured. I was awake for most of the night. No lights were on. The chimes of the big basilica rang the hours and half hours as usual through the night, playing the air of the Lord's Ave Maria. Early in the morning, I heard them ringing, and it seemed to me that I fell asleep at the beginning of the Ave. It could have been a matter of only a few seconds, but at the last stroke, I opened my eyes and jumped out of bed. First, I knelt on the floor to finish the rosary I had been saying. Then I dashed for the door, pushed aside the two brancardiers, and ran out into the passage in the open air. Previously, I had been watching the brancardiers and planning to evade them. I may say here that I had not walked since 1915, and my weight was down to 112 pounds. Dr. Marley was outside the door when he saw the man over whom he had been watching during the pilgrimage and whose death he had expected push two brancardiers aside and run out the ward. He fell back in amazement. Out in the open now, I ran towards the grotto, which is about 200 or 300 yards from the asylum. This stretch of ground was graveled then, not paved, and I was barefoot. I ran the whole way to the grotto without getting the least mark or cut on my bare feet. The brancardiers were running after me, but they could not match up with me. When they reached the grotto, there I was on my knees, still in my night clothes, praying to Our Lady and thanking her. All I knew was that I should thank her and that the grotto was the place to do it. The brancardiers stood back, afraid to touch me. And so that's where we're going to leave this Eucharistic miracle for today.
I mean, it's every time I hear this story again, it just gives me chills. This was a man that was completely paralyzed. Had no use
yeah.
of his arm, had no use of his legs, and now he's running in his bare feet 200 yards down a gravel road so fast that the brancardiers can't catch him. it's just amazing. Absolutely astounding, astounding miracle. And what's really unusual about this miracle is that most of the miracles associated with Lourdes are associated with the water. And yet this man bathed in the water 9 times, but he wasn't cured until the Eucharist proceeded in front of him. That's when his cure took place. It's just an astounding, astounding story.
Exactly. And I actually am starting to think I have a cure that can be attributed to Lourdes water. My mother, for my birthday last year, bought me some of this Immaculate Waters hand and body lotion that's made with Lourdes water.
I have a bottle of it myself.
And you may or may not remember that I had some really bad swelling in my right leg and right foot. And I've been rubbing my right foot and right leg with this Immaculate Waters, and the swelling has gone way down.
Praise God.
You know, they thought I had either venous reflux or congestive heart failure.
Yeah,
but
when they scanned me,
I had neither. So it was just undefined lymphedema, and now that's going away.
Wow. Wow.
And I believe that's Our Lady's doing.
Wow. Hey, Richard, I just passed a horrific car accident.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'd like to, let's offer a Hail Mary for any potential victims because it looks really bad.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. All right, and we have reached the end of our show for today, friends. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, listen again tomorrow for the conclusion of the John Traynor story, and share it with a friend. If you didn't, email me on Facebook and tell me why, and I will make the show better for you. So with that, I want you to have a great rest of your Monday. My name is Richard Pettis, and a great Tuesday until we see you back here at 3 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
God bless.
God bless.